broadcasting live from the Encita Business Radio X studio in North Carolina, it's time for NC Tech Talk, where tech leaders come to tell their stories.
Welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro, Senior Director of Programs here at the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you unfamiliar with NCTA, we're a not-profit, membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech sector in North Carolina. We support economic growth through three initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events; public affairs, where we lobby in front of state and federal government on behalf of the tech sector; and knowledge workforce, which is our workforce development term, where we help companies find the talent they need, as well as job seekers look for the next company that they want to work for. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. We're also streaming updates and comments on this and future shows with our hashtag at #NCTechTalk. And if we were to give you a theme for this month's show, we're going to be looking around the growing trends of analytics, how it's helping businesses overall. And so we have two guests from companies that offer solutions in that space in our membership. Our first is Gary Storr. Gary spent about 20 years at Nortel, finishing up as the CIO there before joining Cspring as their Director of Client Engagement and Advisory Services. So, Gary, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Mark. Yep.
Our second guest is Sean Williams. He's the President and COO for Spring Metrics. Sean, thanks again for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
Good. Gary, let's start with you. You had a long career at Nortel in kind of all functions of IT. Tell us a little bit about your time there and your transition as you went out.
Yeah, well, I was at Nortel probably about 25 years, long run there, and quite honestly expected to end my career with Nortel. You may know, if you follow the tech sector at all, Nortel, one time a powerhouse. It was a very large progressive company in the telecommunications field. And I had an opportunity because of the progressive nature of the company and the technology focus of that company, as an IT leader, to experience different kinds of technology, emerging trends in the technology sector, specifically in IT and telecommunications. And as my career grew and moved into roles, I was able to take on projects such as enterprise solutions, drove some of the early business analytics and business warehouse solutions for the corporation, got into application development, network operations, data center operations, led their center of excellence for SAP for a period of years, and continued to move into upper levels of IT leadership. Unfortunately, financial issues were brought to bear on the company, and the company declared bankruptcy and was ultimately liquidated. And that left me with some kind of personal analytics to execute as it related to where I was going to go next and what I wanted to do in my career. So it was a great ride at Nortel. Don't regret a second. Mm-hmm. It was, learned about information technology, learned how to be work with people, learned how to be a leader, and really learned how corporations work and how specifically in the private sector, why we're here and what it is that all companies do and what it is that all companies have in common as they try to make business decisions.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it's a conversation that tends to come up in our CIO peer group is, you know, even as a C-level executive in IT, sometimes that can be more the service delivery side. And so once you reach that CIO level, you kind of wonder what's that next step in your career. So when you kind of saw the writing on the wall, I guess, for lack of a better term, what did you start thinking about as far as that next step in your career? What were you wanting to do with that next opportunity?
Yeah, I think that the natural inclination was do more of the same. You tend to do a little bit of introspective, right? And What do I want to do when I grow up? You know, and sometimes you get places and you're not sure quite how you got there, but you're there. And so, you know, I started thinking about, okay, what's my next role in IT leadership? And I did an important exercise. I actually got a piece of paper out and I actually used a pen and paper. I didn't use, you know, a word processing tool or a mobile device. And I wrote down the things that were important to me. And I realized that the things I wanted to do was, you know, as I went through this evaluation is I wanted to do something challenging. I wanted to try something new. I wanted to learn how to execute new skills and kind of depart from some of the core things that I've developed over the course of years. I thought that was important. And so as my role at Nortel wound down, and it wound down just at the beginning of this year, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was really fortunate that I ran across, quite by accident, C-Spring, and through a number of conversations, you know, business development was revealed to me as an opportunity, and the folks at C-Spring extended that opportunity to me, and you know, it's something I thought about relatively quickly, and they invited me to come on board, and here I am.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talked about being proactive, but yet then this one coming kind of out of blue. So what? Tell us a little bit about C-Spring. What attracted you to that organization when they came to you with this opportunity?
Well, it's a great team of like-minded people, and I always think that in even when I was in the in kind of the corporate world, I always thought it was important to be around like-minded people, but people that were going to challenge you. And I think that's exactly what C-Spring brings to the table, and not just for me. And as part of their team now, but I think that's what C-Spring tries to do with their clients and their partners is like-minded, think about the same kinds of values, the same goals. We want to achieve the same things, but we want to do so by bringing to the table new thoughts, creative ideas, and innovative ways to think. So we're not necessarily being a cookie cutter here and just saying, yes, you know, we'll implement this solution this way. We're going to really think about what our clients, what our partners' desires are, what their objectives are, what they're trying to achieve from a investment perspective, and then bring bright ideas to the table with experienced people and make that happen. And that's really what attracted me to C-Spring, because I saw that. I saw that by talking to the leadership at C-Spring. I had an opportunity to talk to some of the folks that worked, you know, quote, on the ground at C-Spring directly with the clients. And that was really intriguing to me. And what this role is going to do is allow me to work more closely, both at the grassroots level and also from a leadership level. So I get to work on both sides of the fence. And that's for a guy that's been in kind of corporate leadership for a period of years, and sometimes you don't get to, you know, you don't even know your password to the system to log on, right? But that's, you know, now I'm going to have an opportunity to work more closely with the technology, and more importantly with the people at our clients and our partners to try to get, to try to help C-Spring bring value to them.
Yeah. So you brought up the fact that you've kind of transitioned now. Now you're sitting on the other side of that desk where maybe as the CIO, you would have the internal stakeholders that you would have to sell your solutions to, but now you're looking at a customer or someone that you would potentially partner with to do that with. So how do you communicate that value proposition? Is it different when you're telling someone across the desk, this is our strength, these are our values, or is it the same? How would you say that?
You know, it's really interesting because I did sit on the other side of the desk, and you know, I've had the cold calls and I've had the sales pitches. I always valued those companies and those individuals that came and had a transparent message. And when I took this role at C-Spring and they were good enough to offer me the role, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be transparent. I wanted to be able to take the learnings I had and I wanted to be able to flip them around. And I wanted to be able to be as transparent as possible in terms of what C-Spring can bring to the table and what C-Spring will provide in terms of a value proposition. But I also wanted to do it in context with what the individual I was talking to really needed. Mm-hmm. It didn't do me any good to go in there and try to sell something they don't need. That's not going to bring value to them, and long term, it's not going to bring value to C-Spring either, right? So it is an interesting dynamic being on the other side of the table, but I think it gave me unique insight into saying, look, I've sat in your chair. I've been challenged with these decisions. I've been challenged, with these issues that you're facing as a leader in IT. Mm-hmm. And look, let's put our heads together. I may not have the answer, but if we put our heads together, maybe we can figure it out and we'll come up with a solution. And that may involve C-Spring. And in some circumstances, perhaps that's something that can be solved internally. But we're there to try to help. And I'm there to try to help that decision move to fruition, right? And provide the best results. So that's what I was always all about. And that's what I intend to be all about as it, in sitting in the guest chair as opposed to the chair behind the desk. Yeah,
very good. So I know we talked a lot, even at the beginning of the show, about big data. That's the hot trend now. It's probably been talked about ad nauseum, but that's always a big core competency of C-Springs. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about how C-Spring views the big data issue and how you're helping companies address it?
I think C-Spring brings an interesting approach. And this is again, one of the things that attracted me to the company, in that they look to help solve businesses' problems by partnering with the business. And if you look at the history of data, we as kind of a a technology culture has spent years accumulating data in various forms. But that data always didn't turn into information, right? And information is what's necessary to help people make decisions. So, you could have terabytes of data. If that's not in some kind of useful form, it may not have a lot of value. And I think what C-Spring would bring to the table is experts to understand how to turn your data into information to help make decisions. Mm-hmm. I was at our office in Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago, and we had some folks in from Salesforce.com, and they were good enough to show us a demo of some analytic tools that they are working on that take some Salesforce.com data and puts it into very interesting informational formats. And that's what we do, right? Mm-hmm. We take that data and we help you make decisions. We help you make decisions about how to best articulate that data in a form that's going to make investment decisions, how to help your customer service, how to drive your revenue, how to make R&D decisions, how to drive your business. Now, if that means we got to sit down and do an assessment about what your technology looks like today, if that means, are you going to use Hadoop, or are you going to use, some kind of enterprise business warehouse solution? Do you need to do a business process review to ensure you're capturing your data correctly? How many times do we see situations where data is so unclean that, the best report in the world is not going to give you the necessary information? So data cleanup, data mining. There's a lot, big data. I think it's ironic that it's big data, because big data is, it can be a big problem, mm-hmm. but it also, it also allows companies like ours, like at C-Spring, to be able to come in and look at all facets of it and, provide some guidance. Do you need technical guidance? Do you need process guidance? And do you need a partner to help you design a solution?
So it sounds like you were talking about how obviously taking that data and actionable items that could lead to additional things. I mean, that sounds like also that could add to the solutions offering that C-Spring offers. So is there more than that? Does that where most of your solutions offering tends to go to, or do you have other services that can spiral off of that?
Absolutely. C-Spring has been around since 1996, and through that, like any company in this space, it's gone through its share of transformations. But C-Spring will offer any number of solutions depending on the challenges our clients have. We can do custom application development, web front end, whether it be .NET, Java. We talked about analytics. Do you need to look at a business transformation initiative? We'll come in and help you do an assessment around that. Technical assessments of perhaps your existing legacy infrastructure. So we are a partner, and what we try to do is help you solve a problem. And can we solve every problem? Well, probably not. I'm not sure anybody can. But if you have an IT situation that that you need expertise in. Seaspring is a company that can come in, help you take a look at it as a partner, and help you draw conclusions about the direction that you want to go. Technology is accelerating so fast. 20 years ago, we said, hey, technology is moving really fast. And 10 years ago, we said, hey, technology is moving really fast. And today we say, hey, technology is moving fast. The message there is technology is accelerating at a constant rate, and it keeps accelerating. And when you're in a company, and I've sat in that chair, you can't keep up with it because you're running your business. So you need somebody like Seaspring to come in and with experts that understand the specifics, whether it's in data or application development or web or collaboration or Microsoft Office or in SharePoint or whatever those solutions are, and bring that expertise to bear to determine, hey, do we have a solution for you? Can we help your business? Can we, you know, can we put in a technical solution that'll help you solve a business issue? Can we help you drive profitability? We can help you drive customer satisfaction numbers, whatever your goals are. That's the business we're in.
Very good. So how can our listeners learn more about Seaspring?
So www.seaspring.com is our web. I think you'll find that very interesting. There's a lot of great data out there. If you'd like to get a hold of me personally, I am the business development prime here in Raleigh. I can be reached at gstore@seaspring.com. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, great. Well, Gary, thanks a lot for your time. It sounds like a really interesting new step in your career. So looking forward to hear more about that.
Great, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Good. We're going to come right back after a break here and talk with our next guest. But for those of you tuning in just now, you're listening to NC Tech Talk. So we will come back with a break in just a few minutes. Thanks again for joining us. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to NC Tech Talk, the tech sector's internet radio program brought to you by the North Carolina Technology Association. If you want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. We're also streaming updates and comments on this and future shows on Twitter at #NCTechTalk. So now we're going to talk with our second guest, Sean Williams, who is the president and COO for Spring Metrics. Sean, we talked a lot about the growing need for analytics in the industry today. Tell us a little bit about your company and how it got started.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gary actually mentioned several points that are extremely applicable to what we do as well and what we see in the market. But we were founded back in 2010 in Durham. And all of our founders had e-commerce experience to some extent or another. And talking about solving problems, you know, they saw an opportunity to provide a solution that was going to be very simple, very easy to use, but deliver powerful results. So what they wanted to do was provide an analytics dashboard that was going to be available to e-commerce organizations. So, you know, whether they're strictly online or whether they also have a brick and mortar presence, to be able to take that information that's available and make good use of it. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is, you know, data is phenomenal. You know, the opportunities that are available now with technology, you're able to measure all kinds of different things. And the challenge is there's plenty of data and, you know, what do you do with it, right? So, you know, what they did was really drill it down to what's important for those, that particular market, and then how can they make the best use of it? So, you know, that's how we got started, and we've built out the platform from there.
Talked a little bit about the dashboard, but when you're sitting in front of a customer, how do you describe that? What is that core service offering that you're saying you're going to bring or help your customer with?
Mm-hmm. So what we're doing in terms of the core service offering, we've actually several years back added on a what we refer to as a behavioral targeting aspect to the analytics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really a situation where what we do is allow marketing professionals, whether it's on the e-commerce side, B2C, B2B, or if it's in hotels and resorts, but we allow that marketing professional to engage with visitors to their website in real time with relevant personal content. So what they're able to do is, you know, it's a situation, if we think about if someone's walking into a store, someone's sitting across the table from you, the more you're able to know about their needs, the better solution you're able to provide to them. You know, the more value you're able to provide to them. And when, you know, things happen online, you're not conversing with that person, so to speak. So when you're able to take a look at data and you're able to know certain things about that particular person, you're able to provide that value. You're able to enhance that user experience on their end in terms of what's happening online in real time. So essentially with that, you're able to provide better results, not only for the folks that are visiting your site, but for your results as a business as well.
Yeah, it can't be any doubt that just having that information real time as opposed to any type of reactive side is better. But so then how do you take that next level of engagement? You know, there's obviously the website experience themselves or the user experience that they go through, or social engagement, email marketing. Tell me about where you guys focus there and what you found is impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talk a lot about building relationships, and I think that gets lost a lot in the technology that's available today. Mm-hmm. But as we transition that to an online realm, if you will, if you're thinking about, you know, doing business with the person that's visiting your website, it's still important to build that relationship and make sure they have a great experience. Mm-hmm. And so the way that we're able to do that's a few different ways. You can actually use it to make them aware of particular, you know, again, content or promotions that might be relevant to them based on some things that you're doing, you know, whether it's a campaign that you're running that they're aware of, or if it's something that could be applicable to their geographic location or something along those lines. You know, marketing technology is a very broad area right now. And so one of the things that we also do is help folks capture email addresses, which in effect, what that does is help them grow their email marketing list to continue to build relationships with customers and future customers. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the social side of it, right? So being able to engage with them there and being able to continuously, you know, provide value with your brand to that person. So, you know, we do it a few different ways, you know, particular content that you're running, emails, as well as on the social side of things.
So that was one thing that I know I'm going off script here on some of the questions, but with your engagement there, a lot of our members are in that B2B space. So is there any specific type of engagement? I know a lot of our members talk to me about content development and being able to be viewed as that thought leader. So is there anything specifically relevant to the B2B market that you're finding is helpful from that perspective?
On the B2B side, I would say it's more about that continuous relationship building, right? So, you know, depending on the industry that you're looking at, folks are going to be visiting websites multiple times before they make a decision. And there have been a number of studies done that have shown folks are typically 60 to 70% of the way through a decision-making process before they actually engage with that particular partner or vendor. So I'm sure that's something that a lot of folks have heard. But what are you doing from 0 to 60%? You know, or are you engaging with them? Are you providing them with the information or the content that is most relevant to their needs? And so from a B2B perspective, you know, being able to get that out there and get it out in front of them while they're on your site. You know, again, if they're hitting a particular page that might be specific to a certain type of solution that you provide, and you've got a white paper or a case study or any type of document that you want to get out there in front of them, having it, you know, in a static place on the website is great. It's fantastic. But being able to actually engage with them in real time is important as well, and really makes a tremendous difference.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's kind of that same side. I know you hear a lot of people talk about just, we have a ton of data, don't know what to do with it or anything like that. So, you know, how do you sit across from that same desk and tell them, this is why this is so important? What do you tell those potential customers?
Yeah, so there's a few things there. You know, talking about the marketing technology space, it's grown tremendously over the last several years. Ion Interactive is a group out of Boston, and they've done a study the last several years and tracked the number of marketing technologies that are available, and it's literally more than doubled in the last couple years alone. Mm-hmm. And earlier in 2015, they said that there were approximately 2,000 companies, but there were plenty that they were not able to, you know, to find, so to speak, right? So what that means is there's a lot of different solutions available to people. And, you know, it could be very, it can be a struggle to find out what you need and when and how. And what we're able to do is, again, that real-time engagement is extremely important. That personalization is extremely important. You know, email marketing is very much a cornerstone, a linchpin, if you will, of marketing strategy, paid ads, things along those lines. But, you know, what we miss a lot of times is the opportunity to really personalize that experience. So that's where we come into play. You know, Gary touched on this a little bit as well, but within our application, we take that data and turn it into information, which we then want to flow into knowledge, right? So we actually have a piece within the application that takes the data and puts it in a visual format. So you actually see, you know, what particular segments are, you know, make up a majority of your traffic. How well are those converting? Where are they going? So on and so forth. And then from there, you're able to build out these campaigns in which you're able to measure against a control group. So you're really able to statistically, you know, see what type of performance you have so that you know if that particular campaign is something that resonates with that segment. And if you're not, you're able to test something else. Mm. So being able to know that is extremely important.
Yeah. So you touched on this earlier in the interview about how, you've expanded to the hotel and resort industry specifically. I mean, marketing being very ubiquitous, but companies that are able to find that niche market and be able to provide a solution specific to that is always a way for them to get a leg up. So what precipitated that expansion there and why'd you guys go that route?
Yeah, it's something that we're really excited about. A lot of success in the, particularly the B2C commerce side of things. And, you know, through those efforts, through that hard work is what happens in business a lot of times is, you know, you're going to have opportunities come to you. And we had been working with some very large hotel management companies, property or ownership groups over the past 18 months or so. And earlier this year, late last year, we actually saw that take off considerably with some very well-known brands and so on and so forth. So we started looking more into the opportunity there and what would it take to really make a difference in that market as well. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that it's been something that's a great market opportunity in terms of you know, us being able to come in and make a difference for the different hotel properties very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, through that hard work and success we had on the e-com side, some opportunities came up and we were able to explore those in due time and have decided to expand out into the hotel and resort industry.
So have you found any specific challenges that they face as an industry specific or a problem that you guys are solving that maybe is, again, specific to the hotel or resort industry?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, but, you know, maybe their, you know, experiences have been very different. So if you think about e-commerce, you know, while it's been around for, you know, for as long as the internet, essentially, it's still very much a young market, you know, and there's a tremendous amount of technologies that are available to them. When you look at hotels and resorts, it's been around for a while, you know, and you've got folks that are very dedicated to their profession, very dedicated to their craft, and they're in it for their entire careers. What's happened, you know, in terms of technology acceleration, over the last 5 to 7 years, there's been a lot that has come to the table in regards to what's available to them. So, you know, what we've been able to see there is coming in and providing something that's going to be very relevant to what they're doing that can have a tremendous impact in a very short period of time. And, you know, they're not having to go through and learn a whole entirely new system. And they're able to see the ROI with it. So specific to their challenges, you know, again, it's going to be very similar in terms of there's a lot of different things out there that they can take advantage of and where do they start. And again, we're able to come in and help solve that with something that's going to, you know, help them get the most out of their resources.
So the one thing we always like to hear about is just our members' success and plans for growth, that type of thing. I know that even Gary was mentioning that Seaspring's looking at office area there, and you just recently moved to American Underground. So mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we can expect to see for throughout the rest of this year into 2016? What can we expect to see?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, really pumped about getting into the new market and continuing to have success there. You know, with that will come growth in terms of, you know, what we're doing in regards to employees and bringing new folks on board. You know, in particular on the tech side of things, the technology side of things, really looking for, you know, a talent there and bringing people on board. And then obviously, you know, my background is in sales and, you know, revenue is what's going to be helping drive our success moving forward. So looking for folks on the sales side as well to come in and have an opportunity to make a difference.
So obviously the one recurring theme in North Carolina is just that war for talent. How do you find those A players you want? And more specifically, how companies are branding themselves. What is that company culture that you will sell to somebody sitting across the desk wanting to work for you? So how would you describe that? And what do you think separates your company from others?
Yeah, that is a great question. In terms of what separates us is that, you know, we're in a situation where we've been around for a while and, you know, everyone that comes on board has an opportunity to make an impact, you know, and we're still at, you know, sub 10 employees and everything that you do each and every single day is going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And our particular strategy is, you know, we're able to go out and look for folks that really have that heart and desire to make a difference every single day that they come in. And, you know, they're able to have, you know, interactions with folks that are on client services or engineering or sales or whatever aspect it may be of the company. And, you know, to really grow a tremendous amount and really see what it takes to be successful in a growing, you know, tech business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really look for those folks that just want to go get after it, that have that inner drive, inner ambition that, you know, they're going to be successful no matter what it takes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how we try to build our team out and what we look for.
Great. So people want to learn more about Spring Metrics. Where do they go?
Springmetrics.com. You can certainly check us out there. You know, feel free to reach out to us as well. You can send me an email at Sean@springmetrics.com, and that's Sean, S-H-A-W-N. More than happy to talk with anyone that may have questions, learn about what we're doing, learn about, you know, where we've been and go from there. But, you know, very excited about where we're going through the rest of this year and into next year.
Yeah, it sounds great. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Well, great. Again, Gary and Sean, we really appreciated the conversation. I thought it was great to hear about some up-and-coming organizations that really are building out the tech sector here in North Carolina. So I appreciate both of your time. You have probably seen some promotions for our dual signature event at the Grandover Resort in Greensboro on August 13th and 14th. So I'm going to take a couple seconds and tell you about our golf tournament and leadership retreat. First, we're going to take over the whole East course and bring about 130 of our golfing members out for a good old-fashioned golf tournament. This tournament is currently sold out. We're real excited about that, but we still have opportunities for people to get involved if they want to. None of them include golf, unfortunately, but we do have a VIP tent sponsorship that we're working on so that we can bring that real feel of a PGA tournament and actually have a gallery. And so if you're interested in bringing some of your employees out to be able to be a part of the networking, both at the beginning and at the 19th hole reception, I definitely encourage you to reach out to me about that. After the golf tournament ends, we'll kick off our leadership retreat. This is our executive retreat hosted by our board leadership, and the format really has some great content that I think you'll find of value. We have some great keynote discussions, including Sim Sitkin, who is the founding faculty director at the Coach K Center for Leadership and Ethics. He'll kick off our dinner, and then our state treasurer, Janet Cowell, will open up Friday's agenda with a talk on the NC Innovation Fund. We wrap up the day with the mid-year economic forecast from Mark Vittner, who's a senior economist from Wells Fargo. One opportunity to note for this event is that we're looking for a segment sponsor for our Workforce of 2020 panel. This is a great opportunity for companies that want to be positioned as a leader in this space to be able to provide the moderator as well as lead that discussion on how companies are preparing and finding that talent that they need going into the future. If you want to learn more about these events specifically, you can go to NCTA Golf for the golf tournament and NCTA Leadership for Leadership Retreat. So that concludes our show. We will have the podcast available on our next website, so visit nctechnology.org for all of these and future shows and engagements. We encourage you also to go follow us on Twitter at NCTA and on LinkedIn. Our next show will be at the end of August, and we hope to see you then. Again, Gary and Sean, thank you again for your time, and you all have a great day.